Would you please turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. We're going to read a couple of these verses together. The context of this portion of Scripture from the second half of the 11th chapter is where the apostle is outlining really his apostleship. And he is speaking about the authority that God has given him to be an apostle. Then he speaks very candidly, really through the Holy Spirit, about what he has suffered for the cause of Christ and how he goes through that list of persecutions and difficulties and challenges. And then moving into the 12th chapter, he just relays something of God's dealing with him in the revelations that he received from the Lord. Him being an apostle and having written a large portion of the New Testament, God granted him a very special communication. And this communication that came from God to his servant. And then Paul says, because I received an abundance of revelations, well, there was a danger. And the danger would be because he'd been blessed with so much that he could be filled up with conceit or pride, thinking that he was something special in himself. Well, the Apostle Paul knew deep down inside he was not special himself, because we are told in the book of Romans he lamented. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He had a striving that went on inside of him, wrestling with the old nature and wanting to do that which is right, but knowing inside his flesh resisted that. So he was a man, certainly, and a man who knew he was redeemed by God's great grace and salvation. So he tells us that, and what I want to do is to pick up our reading, please, at verse 7 of this chapter, chapter 12. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might be depart from me. And he that is God said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's bow, please, for prayer. Dear Lord, I'm thankful tonight for the privilege of being here in this service. For we have sung unto thy name. We've heard the word of God. We've heard this testimony of the saving grace in the life of our brother Alan, and how he has been brought together with his wife and their family now here in this ministry. And oh God, all of these things are evidences clearly of thy grace and mercy. And oh Lord, we bless thee for that. And I pray that the words of the testimony spoken yet, Lord, would bring fruit to someone here in this meeting tonight to call unto the Lord. And our Father, I pray that as we join hands and link arms in the cause of Christ here, we would go forward supporting and encouraging each other, and that we would not do in any way the devil's work to undermine each other, but rather we would encourage and strengthen and challenge each other to go on with God. Lord, hear our prayers now tonight. Come near to me, I pray, and give me strength. I need the infilling of Thy Spirit, as well as these dear folks need the grace of God to listen. And I pray that it will be written the Word on every heart. So, Lord, hear this prayer. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Grace that is sufficient for you in every time of need. Sufficient grace. That's the message I want to bring to you tonight, drawing from these well-known words of the 9th verse, where the Lord said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Do you know the very definition of the word grace? If you have it, you do not deserve it. And if you find strength in yourself, you do not need this grace that is being talked about here. It is not until we come to that place of recognition of our need that we will find the mysterious supply of something that can't be weighed by measure or traded by some kind of a market value. It was not until the Apostle Paul recognized his need that he found the grace of God given to him in such an abundant supply that enabled him to continue. It enabled him to complete his course. But some of us may be just too proud to acknowledge that we are weak and that we have a need. Because to acknowledge weakness or to acknowledge a need automatically acknowledges vulnerability. And we don't like to admit that to our brethren, to our congregation, one to another. We all like to appear that we're strong, that we have everything in order, that our life is going on properly. But let's put those things aside. Let's come honestly before God and not be afraid, one to another, in the gospel truth and witness to say, yes, we do have needs. And yes, we have weaknesses. And those weaknesses at times seem to come over us like a wave. And we need to admit that one to another so that we might solicit the prayers of each other, so that you will strengthen me by your prayers and I might be able to strengthen you by my prayers, and that God will come to our aid. And so we set these things aside. Truly, you know, if we have love one to another in a family setting, then pride needs to be set aside, because pride will come in to damage relationships. Pride will come in where one person wants to have the upper hand over the other and vice versa. And likewise, if we don't humble ourselves before one another in a gospel sense, then we will not enjoy true gospel fellowship. And there will always be that tension. But if you want in your Christian life, believer, to experience the power of the grace of Christ, if you want to know the Lord working in and through you, then you must surrender to Him. And you can't play games about this. You must come to the point where you're prepared to say, Lord, I want to go on with God. I want to cleave unto the Lord. I want with purpose of heart to go through with the Lord. That's my burden. It's my heart. I pray it will be for you as you have commenced this new calendar year. When you surrender your life to His will, to the Word of God, you are surrendering the events of your life. You're going to surrender the happenings day to day, your situations, circumstances that are beyond your control, and ultimately you will admit them from the hand of God. Yes, the good, the bad, and the ugly, they come from the hand of God, ultimately. And how do I know that? Because God says in His Word that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yes, even in this point where Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh, he refers to it as the messenger of Satan to buffet me. The messenger of Satan to beat me with this thorn in the flesh. But wait a minute, Paul. Are you trying to say that this thing was from Satan and it was from God at the same time? Oh, yes, my friends. When you read the Scripture very carefully, you will find that Satan's evil workings are taken by God and turned around for good. You don't remember in Joseph's life? How that his brothers had designed evil against him, and Satan obviously motivated them to kill that man and exterminate his testimony and witness. Oh, yes. But at the end of it all, Joseph was able to say, you, my brethren, as he had forgiven them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And that's what Paul was seeing here in his own life, in this messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him. So here you are tonight in this meeting, and I may know some of the details of your lives. I may be acquainted with some of your burdens. Oh, but my friend, it's only the Lord who knows the depth of heart and the depth of the cross and the weight of that burden that is upon your life, that is in your family, that is breaking you, or at least to the point of breaking you. It's a very heavy weight. So I want to challenge you with this word tonight, that you will come to draw that strength that alone comes from the God who gives strength to His people in every time of their need. He is, first of all, the giver of sufficient grace. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. From the largest events in your life to the very smallest things, they are given by the hand of God. And should this be no surprise to us, because the Lord takes great interest in the details of His creation. He takes interest in the smallest of creatures. He takes interest in the greatest of things that He has created. And He is working and overseeing and controlling all of these events to work out ultimately for His own glory and honor. Here we find in this example of the giver of sufficient grace is my God. For He said to Paul, my grace. It's where it comes from, you know. Grace does not come from some kind of unknown entity. It's not some sort of force that is put upon people and it's a mysterious thing. Well, it's mysterious because it ultimately comes from God, no doubt. But that's the origin of it. And it is unlimited in its power because of where it comes from. The Lord said, my grace. Friend, bring your burden to Christ. Whatever it is, great or small, present problems seem great to us because they are near, but to God, they are nothing compared to what He is able to overcome by His omnipotent power. The Lord is mighty. Our God is great. He is the sovereign creator of all things. And Christian, when you submit your little life and your little problems unto Him, you come to a God who has all power to call into existence out of nothing, ex nihilo, to bring us by creative power and majesty and genius and all things that we observe and see. His power is limitless. And this God says to you tonight, My grace is sufficient for you. And not only is His power unlimited, but there is an unending supply. It is sufficient. Isn't there a play on words here? God so gently says to the apostle, I think I can supply your need, all right. I do believe it is sufficient for you. Sufficient. Sufficient when the grace comes from God. It is superaboundingly sufficient. There is absolutely no possibility of lack in this area. And friend, it doesn't matter what your grief and your difficulty is. The Lord's grace and His unending supply is sufficient to strengthen you. It is sufficient to give you the power that you need to live your Christian life. When we consider ourselves against the power of Satan, we are no match for him. He has, first of all, supernatural powers. Don't forget that. And Christian, don't ever toy with the devil. Don't ever think you can pretend that you have enough strength to face the devil. But God has promised to strengthen you with His grace on the inside. And no matter how strong the devil seems to be, when you shelter yourself under the almighty and omnipotent power of your God, and you rest under that promise of His all-sufficient grace, you're coming under a strong protection. Indeed, God has said, greater is He that is in you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ that dwells in you, greater is He that is in you than he, the devil, that is in the world. He has enough grace and sufficient to strengthen you. But you feel your weakness. You feel at times, I cannot go on anymore. I'm worn right out. I've no more. Just at that time is when you will begin to tap into the strength that God has for you. And that strength that is abundant, it will take care of you. And yet God's unending supply will help to comfort you in the time of your great sadness, in the time when the heart is broken and you're so grieved. And it may be, friend, you're not grieved because of somebody else's problem that's affecting you. You're grieved because of your own heart, your own failure. You're grieved and you think your testimony is nearly shot or done through. And you say, Lord, I can't go on. There's no point. It is just then that the Lord is able to comfort your heart and to put you back on your feet again. As the psalmist said, though he fall, the righteous man, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him in his way. And how many times does God have to dust you off and set you on your way again because you have stumbled? He is able to comfort you. The Lord is also able to supply you with His unending supply to make trouble useful in your life. None of us look forward to trouble. We don't welcome it. If we could go in the other direction, we would. And I think that that's a true direction to go in. But inevitably it will come, for all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, shall suffer trouble. So that trouble that comes by our way, let us realize that God intends to use that trouble for His own glory. And He promises that if the trouble comes beside you and comes right in the center of your life, He's going to pour out His grace that is sufficient to help you in the time of that trouble. He will also give you grace, enabling you to triumph over evil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what the Lord has said. Now, in resisting the devil, we are doing exactly what God says. When the temptation comes and when the attack is heating up around you, you are called to resist him, not by your own power, in no way, but by the power that abides in you and the grace that is sufficient that God is promising here to bring you safely through to the conclusion of the story, to bring you to a final end, to the completion of your testimony in life. And oh, friends, the Lord's grace and Spirit has been proved true in the lives of saints right from the beginning of time. And he will bring you safely home to heaven, and you will yet be there a testimony of his divine and sovereign grace. You'll be a testimony, a saved by your sin, not by your own strength or power, but through the Lord's mercy in you. And his grace will sustain you because it's God's unlimited power and his unending supply. When we think of the word sufficient, how can we explain this? How can it come to us to fully comprehend when you're talking about infinite power and coming down to a human level, the sufficiency of God's grace? Perhaps you could think about it this way. What about someone coming to a lake of fresh water? And as they come over the horizon and they see this lake, they see it is a vast supply, but they fear that maybe there will not be enough supply to satisfy them in their needs for water. And yet you cannot see the other shore. The lake goes beyond as the horizon and the earth curves away. You cannot see the other side of that shore. How great, how sufficient is the grace of God to you in his abundant supply. There is an account told of mariners that were in the ocean and they had run out of supplies. They were in South America. They had run out of supplies and all fresh water, and of course you know that you cannot survive on salt water. And as the crew was nearly expiring, they were approaching what seemed to be not close to land, but they came by another vessel and they pleaded for supplies. And the captain told them, "Why, my friends, simply dip down into the water. You're at the mouth of the mighty Amazon River, and the river that flows 200 miles out into the ocean, and you have a fresh supply of water that you can drink." They could not see the horizon. They could not see the barriers of that fresh supply, but it was more than abundant for them, and they could drink, and they could survive and live. You consider of someone going to the great prairies of Canada and seeing those wheat fields that are growing up in the time just before they're harvested. And could you think of someone, one person going and looking over the vastness of those fields and wondering, will there be enough grain to supply my need? Oh, how foolish would a question like that be? And yet, when we think of ourselves in comparison to the sufficiency of God's grace to us, there is an abundant supply. You will never come to an end. You'll never exhaust it. The hymn writer wrote this: "Have we forgot the almighty name that formed the earth and sea? And can an all-creating arm grow weary or decay? Mere mortal power shall fade and die, and youthful vigor cease. But we that wait upon the Lord shall feel our strength increase." And that is just exactly the way it is. The more you rest upon the Lord, you wait, you come to him for his grace, and you will find it is a sufficient supply. And not only do we have the grace that we have coming from God, but there is strength perfected in the life of the child of God. Had the Apostle Paul not known weakness, he would not have experienced God's strength in his life. And this applies to each one of us as God's people. How often has a body wrecked with pain, broken down in health, turned out to be a life of praise unto God and a clear example of God's grace? No strength hardly to lift an arm, and yet the face glowed with brightness because God was coursing through that life, and his grace was in and working through that individual. Some of you have very heavy crosses to bear. Some people have physical situations in their life to deal with, either yourself personally or one that is close to you, and it is a great weight upon you. Others have spiritual problems that even the closest people near to you don't know, and if they did know, they may not understand anyways. And others maybe have emotional or financial or family or marriage issues. It could be a host of things, my friends. You yourselves are living examples of the sufficiency of God's grace. And maybe you wonder, well, I don't think I'm a very good example. And yet the very fact that you're here tonight and that you are still approving the Lord's sufficiency in your life, you're going forward with Him, even in your weakness, God is pleased to take you and use you. The Lord is pleased to use the weak and despised things, things that are nothing, to confuse and confound the mighty things of this world. The tiniest of creatures, that's what God uses, you know, to oftentimes upset those that are great things. When he sent the plagues into Egypt against Pharaoh those many years ago, the tiniest of creatures, though they were multiplied, why, they caused great turmoil and upset, and they overturned the whole kingdom of Pharaoh at that time. God's greatest glory comes from things that are weak and despised. And you and I fit into that category. And the Lord is pleased to use us. He fills us with His strength and His grace. Why, friend? So that no flesh will glory in His presence. He pours His grace into you, a weak vessel, to strengthen you, so you know yourself, even the thorn that's still in you, that messenger to buffet you, it is to keep you down so that you will not become swelled in your own pride. Thank God for that thorn in the flesh. For if not, quite frankly, the Lord would not be able to use you. He would not be able to use the great apostle Paul had he not afflicted him with this way so that he would not become prone to boast in his own greatness or of something of self. Mr. Spurgeon said this: if you never feel inward conflict and sinking of soul, you will not know much of the upholding power of God. But if you go down, down into the depths of soul anguish till the deep threatens to shut her mouth upon you, and then the Lord rides upon the cherub and does fly and delivers your soul and catches you away up to a third heaven of delight, then you perceive the majesty of divine grace. Well said by God's servant. When the Lord has accomplished in us what He is aiming at, the result will be the emptying of self and the discovery of the utter vanity of our own dependence. That's what God is doing. What? He is conforming us unto the image of His Son. He is bringing us away from the old man, the old nature. And as Paul said, let me die unto myself daily that I might live unto righteousness and to the end everlasting life. And so God brings us so that we will see the foolishness of self-dependence, and that we might lie completely upon Him. For God's strength is never perfected until our weakness is perfected. And that's what He is doing in us. And the Lord also says that along with this sufficient grace, there is sufficient power to go through with God. Paul said, I rather glory in my infirmities. In other words, I'm thankful for this. I prayed 3 times that God would remove this thorn in my flesh. How many times have you prayed that God would remove something that is not your doing, that's come upon you, and you want to get rid of it? And you pray and pray and pray and pray. Maybe, believer, you need to change your praying. You maybe need to say, Lord, help me to understand the meaning of this in my life. And give me the grace that I need, that I'm lacking at this moment, so that I do see clearly the hand of God in my life. I need to see it, because at the moment I keep fighting against it. I keep kicking against this thing, and the Lord wants you to stop fighting and to surrender and to submit to Him for His all-sufficient power to be poured out in your life. Because as long as we are fighting, well, we have not submitted to Him yet, and He will not grant to us His glory to shine through. Paul said, I would rather have this infirmity, I would rather have this weakness, so that the power of Christ can be upon me. Do you know when he said, the power of Christ may rest upon me? That word rest is the word tabernacle. That the power of Christ may tabernacle among me. Do you know that's interesting as we go back to John chapter 1 and verse 14. For we reminded you there that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God tabernacled among us. And I reminded you a couple of weeks ago that that takes us back, of course, to the Old Testament picture and the typology of what the tabernacle represented. And what did it speak of? It spoke about God dwelling in the midst of His people. That's what it was all about. It was a type of Christ in many details, and of His work and of His life, and of the Lord living among His people. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwelling in us. And oh, friends, if you will know the power of God in your life, if you will know God tabernacling with you, you have to know your weakness through His strength. And when you know that, you will know the glory of God beginning to shine more brightly in you. Really, what Paul is saying, I glory in my strengthlessness, that the power of Christ may tabernacle in me. I want to know God's presence. I want to know the Savior abiding with me. I want to know my thought processes being governed, directed, my motives by the Spirit of the Lord day by day and moment by moment. I want to know this. And in order to know this, I need that grace. And I need to be humbled and brought down so that the power of Christ may be seen in and through me. The power of Christ, what will this do for you, friend? The power of Christ is that which saved you. It brought you out of darkness and into light. It set you upon the rock of salvation. It put that new song in your mouth, even glory and praise and joy unto God. And so that power that saved you is the same power that's working in you to change you, so that you'll be more conformed like unto His image and less like yourself. That power of Christ will inspire you. It will help you in your attitudes. It will help you day by day in your perspective, in your thinking. And my, do we not have to have our thinking sanctified in these days? Do you not have to have your mind protected because of the influences that bombard you day by day from every angle? Yes, and the grace of Christ, the power of the Lord, that will inspire and keep you, and His power will equip you to stand, having done all to stand, he says, against the evil one, and against a day when there are so many attacks against the child of God. And so he saves us, he can change us, he will inspire us, he will equip us, and he will sustain so that we will persevere unto the end. Yes, friend, come and drink long at this fountain. Drink well of the grace of the Lord, because God is not stingy. He is not lacking. He will never diminish His supply. It is great to us. And as we progress on, and as we prepare ourselves for this vital week of prayer that's in front of us, it sets the tone and the mark for the entire year of our congregation. Friend, we need to be prepared in heart. We must cleave unto God. We must come to the all-sufficient supply of the grace of our God to us. May the Lord be pleased to bless His word to your heart tonight. Let's close our service, please, by singing a hymn, number 247. The hymn of John Newton, "The Amazing Grace of God, the sweetness of the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Then through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." We'll sing, please, verses 1, 3, 5, and 6, standing as we sing. O God, this night we come to thank Thee again for Thy rich, matchless, and undeserving grace. O God, supply our every need, we pray. Teach us what it means to come to abide and rest under this great grace of the Lord. And Father, we pray that we will know the tabernacling of God with us day by day, moment by moment. We will not depend on self. Lord, keep us from the moment of temptation. Lord, we pray for that strength to be able to resist the devil, that he will flee from us, and that we will always be bright and shining lights for our great and living Redeemer. Lord, take us now on our way safely to our homes. Bless us there, we pray. May our homes be Bethels, be houses of God. And Lord, we pray that sin will be kept away from the doors of our homes, and let each member of the family be very conscious and earnest about this thing. And Lord, that we might shine brightly for the Master from the dawn, from the beginning of the year, to the setting of the sun, to the very end of the year, or until we are called home to be with Thee. Lord, part us now with Thy grace, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.